This is Think Smart with TMFG, your weekly podcast of what's newsworthy and relevant to everyday Canadians, with your host, Senior Financial Advisor Rob McClelland and Mike Conan of Asante Capital Management. Mike, today is podcast number 256. You and I are going to be discussing the new changes to the capital gains inclusion rate in our country.
The good thing is sometimes we have to do these to fight the media falsities that come out. You know, I keep on watching, you know, between TikTok and all these different videos you watch, they keep on saying the capital gains, they're going to tax you 67% on your capital gains. And I mean, the taxes are high in Canada, but it's not quite that high, is it?
No, so it is not that high.
We'll go in some details. It's not good, but it's not as bad as some people made it out to be.
So as has been common in the recent government changes, they've made a last-minute decision. No one was expecting this, to the capital gains inclusion rate. In fact, it's so last-minute that investors, accountants, business owners have only till June 24th to make some big decisions. That gives them less than, well, I guess from today, a couple of months to make big decisions on maybe their rental property, maybe their business, or maybe their investment portfolio. That's not a lot of time.
And remember, the reason why the government's doing this is government needs money, right? And this is a way where they can get people to actually pay taxes right now. So the government's going to have massive, massive tax revenue coming this year because they're giving you a decision to make. You can pay less now or you could pay more later. So a lot of people may make the decision to pay less right now, but it puts the money in the hand of the government right away. So people ask why this is happening. That's the main reason why it's happening.
So let's talk about how capital gains are calculated. Capital gains refer to the profits earned on the sale of assets. Those assets could be stocks, they could be bonds, they could be real estate, like a second property, or other investments. The previous capital gain inclusion rate, so let me just talk about inclusion rate. What does it mean? The inclusion rate is the percent of the gain that's going to be taxable. So previously, in this country, it was 50%.
Yep.
The new capital gain inclusion rate is 66.7%. So it's moved from 50% to two-thirds. Now, there are some subtle differences that we're going to talk about in today's podcast, but it is moved to a higher number, and Canadians are going to be paying more tax, at least those who have made a profit. So let's talk about the change. We'll talk about just individuals. Later on, we'll talk about corporations and trusts and what's changed there. But for individuals who have gains under $250,000 in a given year, so let's say the calendar year 2024, if you have realized capital gains of $250,000, you're still going to be at 50%. Any dollar over that $250,000 will go from 50% inclusion rate to, call it, 67% inclusion rate.
It's funny, you know, over time, we always talk about the beauty of liquidity, right? And people go, well, why don't I just buy real estate? I say, well, there's some disadvantages to real estate versus the stock market. So if you have a property that has $1 million gain, what's your situation? If you sell it, you know, the $1 million gain, $750,000, that is going to be over that rate at 67%. You know, if you have a portfolio with either the mutual funds or some type of investments, you can choose to trigger parts of those gains. You don't have to trigger it all. You have control over that stuff. So there's a huge advantage to having liquid investments in your portfolio rather than real estate. And we keep on talking to people about that. No one understands the value of liquidity.
So let's talk about some examples, Mike. Number one, it does not include your primary residence. Single Canadians or married couples are allowed to have one principal residence, and you do not pay capital gains tax on the sale of that principal residence. So that's excluded. But let's say you have a second property, a cottage, a cabin in the woods, a ski chalet. It could be a piece of raw land. Or you may have an income property, a second house that you rent out. If you have one of those and you earn a profit of more than $250,000, you're going to be paying more tax than you did 2 weeks ago.
You know what's ridiculous? This deadline they've given us, let's say you decided you wanted to pass on a property to a child, right? And you figure, okay, well, I should do it. I want to do it at the 50% rate. So it might make sense. You have a cottage with a $250,000 gain on it. You go and put it over to your kids' names and pay the lower tax bracket. Do you think you get that done by June 24th?
Not likely.
I mean, the rush they put on it is just ridiculous because it doesn't allow people to do... They're forcing people to do improper tax planning. Because right now, accountants, they're busy with tax returns till April 30th, right? So what do you have? You have from the beginning of May, most accountants take the first 2 weeks of May off, well-deservedly so. So you have a very little time to speak with your tax experts and make a decision that's going to massively affect your taxes. And it's a big, big decision.
Not only do you need to involve the accountant, you need to involve a lawyer. And if you've got a financial advisor, you need to involve them as well. So that's three parties that would need to work extremely quickly in helping you make those decisions. So the time limit, I think, is ridiculous, but we'll move on from that. What are the big implications is the government stands to bring in a lot of new tax dollars. And here's how the government sort of justified this change. They said that they looked at the Canadian marketplace, out of 40 million Canadians, only 28.5 million won't have any capital gains this year. So it's only affecting, in theory, 11.5 million people. Still pretty big percent of the population. 3 million others will fall below the 250,000 annual threshold. So the government's logic is that's not going to affect that many Canadians. My biggest issue is that little time that Canadians have to make a really important decision, also that the government can fill their pockets this year.
Yeah.
Let's go through some examples. I thought a second property. Many Canadians own second properties, whether it's a cottage, a farm, vacation property, or a rental property. So let's say you bought a second home for $500,000. You've had it for a number of years, maybe 10 years, and maybe that is now worth $1,250,000. So you've got a capital gain of $750,000. That's a pretty big capital gain. So can you sell that house before the capital gain inclusion rate moves to 67% in 2 months?
Good luck.
And you can close it, sell it, put it up for sale, close the deal, and have it all happen before June 24th? Not likely. But let's go through the math. So before, if you had sold that property, your taxes would be as follows. $750,000 at a 50% capital inclusion rate at the top marginal tax rate, because you got a lot of income that year because you sold the property, which is 53.5%, the government is going to take about a little over $200,000 in taxes. This was prior. So the government was sharing in your profits already. You'd taken all the risks, kept and looked at all the different tenants over the last 10 years that you've had to deal with, and the government's going to be taking more than 25% of your profits.
Yep.
How is it going to work now? Same situation. We have that $750,000 gain. The first $250,000 is at the 50%. But the next $500,000 of your capital gain is at 67%. The government's going to take now $245,000. So you've made $750,000. They've almost taken a third of your profits in taxes for doing absolutely nothing. That's an extra almost $45,000 in straight taxes, or an increase of 22% in the amount of taxes that you're going to have to pay. That's a huge increase. I always look at percentages, Mike.
And you know, it's funny. I listened to the speech. He said it was only going to affect 0.3% of the wealthiest Canadians. Are you telling me there's only 0.3% of Canadians that have a secondary property? It's ridiculous. It's just outright. It's you get frustrated with governments. I'm at the point where I'm just so frustrated because the lies that come out are just incredible. It's using information in wrong ways, and it's not factual. It's, you know, I can't wait till we have a next election. I hate to get political on this stuff, but it's frustrating when you see a rule like this come out that just this year has been, we started out with this idea of bearer trusts, which was a mess for the accountants, created a mess for the Canadians. They didn't know what they were doing. They canceled it at the last minute. And while everyone had already filed these bearer trust returns that they said they needed and they decided they didn't need, they cost people massive amounts of time, money, and they cost accountants to pull the hair out. Now they're going to do this to accountants and cost people time, money, and it's just... I don't see the point in it. I'm lost at how this government is struggling. It's like they're just drowning and they don't know what to do.
So on the weekend, I had a chat with a friend up at the cottage, and they had recently sold their marina. And they made the comment to me, and it struck me. They had said, "We're so lucky we have already sold it," which means they're going to be taxed at 50% capital gain.
Yeah.
So they got a pretty good deal. If that decision had been delayed through paperwork, through something, until after June, there a big part of that gain is now taxed at 67%. So you've got someone selling their business in the same calendar year, and they got completely different tax experiences. That's not acceptable in my books.
Yeah.
I get it if they had said, this thing's going to start January 1st, 2025. That's reasonable. June 24th, what a random date. I don't know why that date. That's not acceptable. So let's go through the example of someone selling a business and the implications there. Same scenario. They bought the business for $500,000. The business is now worth $1,250,000. It's a small Canadian business. They've made a $750,000 capital gain. Before, they would be taxed at 50% of the gain, at their top tax rate, 53.5%, and the government will collect about $200,000.
And let's just say this is a non-qualified Canadian business, so
correct. Well,
you don't have the capital gains exemption here, but this is looking at a lot of people with typical business don't qualify for the small business deduction too.
Definitely. So let's look at the scenario now. For trusts and for corporations, there is no first 250. It's the whole amount is taxed at the new rate. Now, there's some exemptions. I'm not going to get into those today, but this is for someone just looking, trying to figure out what to do with this tax situation. So their tax bill, their capital inclusion rate is now going to be 67% on the full $750,000 of profits they've made. They're going to pay $270,000 in taxes. That's 33% more taxes, not 5% more, 33% more in taxes than they would have paid a month ago.
And think about it. They've changed the whole, people set up how they buy things according to current tax law. So previously, if you were to buy, let's say, a building and you had a business, you'd buy the building within the business. But now that's no longer has any exemption for your capital gains starting at 67%. Nowadays, you'd probably be better off buying a business personally, because at least the first $250,000 will be under lower tax rates. So even assets, it's going to change the whole way on where it makes sense to hold assets. Does it still make sense to hold assets inside a corporate account when the capital gain inclusion rate is going to be 66.7% from dollar one? You know, it's going to create a lot of different tax planning scenarios for people, and they need a lot of time to figure it out, and they have zero time to do it.
So what is the government doing with the money? Well, let's have a quick look at this. The budget is proposing $53 billion in new spending over the next 5 years. That's a big spend. A lot of it is to, in theory, help build more homes and to make it easier for Canadians to rent and own a home. We'll talk about that in an upcoming podcast. They state that the cost of living challenges continue to strain Canadians' pocketbooks.
This is the solution.
So this is the solution. They're going to enhance the country's social safety net, like the launch of a national pharmacare plan, enhancements to CPP, and the creation of a youth mental health fund. Mike, I've given the analogy before of this is like a renovation that has gone on for far too long. The tax system is becoming so complicated, you need an expert to figure out how to take advantage of all the little tax incentives that are out there.
It's Band-Aids everywhere. It's just a broken system that needs to be recreated. They got to start from scratch and just simplify. Every time they make a change, it lasts forever. When it filed tax returns, we're still dealing with things from 25, 30 years ago, changes they made in, that gives you some obscure piece of a tax return. I mean, it's not like when we started this business, to be honest, the capital gains inclusion rate was 75% for a while, right? And we saw it drop down to 66.7. Then we saw it drop down to 50. And it was there for 50, probably the last 20 years, it's been around a 50% inclusion rate. And everything worked well. It was, you know, when you looked at risk return, now I don't know what is capital gain or dividend. They're almost the same now. You know, it used to be your best way to have a gain was a capital gain because capital gains had the most risk. Most risk gave you the most advantage from a tax piece. Next thing, you go to dividend income. Dividend had a little bit less risk.
Because it's than safer. They're bigger safer. Companies that kick
bigger
out
companies,
dividends.
So you paid a bit more tax. And the one without any risk at all, when you're not taking any risk, is you're getting interest, and you have to pay the most tax on the interest because you weren't taking any risk. They've lost that whole thought process on how investments and how taxation should work.
This is going to impact our country. And why I say that is just what you're talking about. Canadian business owners, executives from around the world, anyone who's looking to start a small business, they're not going to take the risk because the reward is being taxed away. And when you're increasing your taxes on business owners by 33%, that's completely unacceptable. So who should develop a strategy? We know we've got 2 months to do this. We've got until June 24th. Anyone with large capital gains in their investment portfolio. That's one. So we're going to go through a list of all of our clients, and we've got a lot of them with large capital gains in their open account or investment account. Not their RSP, not their RIF, not their TFSA, but those who have an open account.
And we can do it over years because the good thing is that we can keep a $250,000 for a bunch of years. So even if you have $1 million of gains, we might come up with a strategy over the next 4 years to trigger $250,000 under that lower tax bracket. Again, age is going to be a big factor because with older clients, you're going to run into some age situation. You have someone who's 85 years old and they have $1 million worth of capital gains, you better you start triggered it pretty quickly.
Anyone with large gains on rental properties, cottage properties, farm properties, vacation properties of any sort, even raw land, need to at least open the door, look in. Do you need to make a decision in the next 2 months? Anyone with large capital gains in corporations, where you've got an investment account in your corporation or your corporation itself has gone up in value, you need to at least explore what are the implications. And finally, anyone who's looking to sell their business this year or any of those properties may need to really expedite the process.
I don't know if it's impossible.
This is our government. That brings us to the end of another week. Thank you for joining us. This is Rob and Mike with Think Smart from the McLellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management, reminding you to subscribe so you can have your best retirement ever.
You've been listening to the McLellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management Limited. Asante Capital Management Limited is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and the Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. Insurance products and services are provided through Asante Estate and Insurance Services Incorporated. This material is provided for general information and is subject to change without notice. Every effort has been made to compile this material from reliable sources. However, no warranty can be made as to its accuracy or completeness. Before acting on any of the previous information, please make sure to see a professional advisor for individual financial advice based on your personal circumstances. The opinions expressed are those of the authors and not necessarily those of Asante Capital Management Limited.